Business Brain, episode 565 for Wednesday, July 10th, National Pina Colada Day, 2024. Greetings, folks, and welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take a few ideas. We crunch them, we dissect them, we analyze them, we use them to tune our business brains every single time we get together. Our sponsor today is Shopify.com/businessbrain, where you can go and sign up for a $1 per month trial period. We'll talk more in depth about that in a little bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, as usual, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And I'm still Shannon Jean, and I'm still out here in Northern California. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, Shannon. I have what I believe to be good news to share.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know. It's news.
Let's see.
There are things that I intrinsically pay attention to in terms of their prices. And there are two of them. One is concert tickets, because I buy a lot of them. And the other is far more intentional in my life. And that, my friend, is canned tuna fish. We don't buy the chunk. We buy the better stuff, whatever it is.
Albacore
white tuna. We have a rule in our house that I will point out we have had to violate for about 4 years now. But the rule is that we only buy cans of tuna when they are a dollar or less per can. And yesterday, we were able to buy five cans for $5. Now, it was a special, but that's how these things begin. Things start out as specials. And the same is true with concert tickets. We're seeing shows not selling out.
Some being canceled.
There's a lot of flux in the concert industry about what the price of a concert ticket should be. Post-COVID lockdown, of course, during COVID lockdowns, there were no concert tickets being sold. Post-COVID lockdowns, the prices skyrocketed and people were buying them because people had mounted up a ton of money and wanted to get out of their houses and go see concerts again. So they were selling out at top dollar, and that's fine. We bought tickets for the Stones, the Rolling Stones. We just went and saw them a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it with the I can't remember the name of the company that would check your bag.
Yes. Remote locker people.
So stupid. It's stupid. It's great that it exists. It's ridiculous that it has to.
Terrific.
But we bought those tickets in October. Now, we bought them on the day they went on sale. Stones are my dad's favorite band, and I was happy to spend whatever it was. It was almost $500 a ticket, right? Like, it was not cheap. That's high for a concert ticket.
I would agree.
That week, tickets were being fire sailed for that same show for let's in our section, let's say half of that or slightly less than half of that, which totally fine. This is not sour grapes. My family always yells at me. They're like, I can't believe you're looking. We've already bought tickets. It's like, no, I want to know for next time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because if they don't all sell out. It's a sunk cost. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But if they don't all sell out right away, then I want to know. At what point before a show, like when does the dip happen versus it coming back up? When does it plateau? All those things. So I pay close attention to this stuff because we see a lot of concerts. And we did. We went and saw John Fogerty from the 20th row, perfect seats, last minute, 2 weeks ago. We paid $30 a ticket. I paid more for my parking space.
Sweet.
But I love it. So the number is somewhere between 30 and 500, right? But it's come down. And tuna has also come down. I know it's just a special, but that's going to normalize.
Basically, you telling me that tuna is a buck a can tells me that interest rates are going to come down soon.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes,
that's what we want.
Yep, it's the tuna fish litmus test. But it's a thing. Groceries have been ridiculously priced since COVID lockdowns.
It's been nuts. Yeah, the inflation on groceries, and it's not like the inflation index or whatever. Oh, inflation is up 4%. It's like no, It's like double.
Double.
You know,
correct.
Sometimes you go here and Renee will come home because I don't shop. I'm just not.
Yeah, to be fair, Lisa passed this information to me. But yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, so she'll come home and she's like, you know, mayonnaise was $8. And so we have this new thing where like, only we have this list we use on our phones that we share. I'll get some of this. So there's always a caveat now. It's like, oh, I want this, but only if it's on sale.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll just wait or I'll get a substitute or get something because it's ridiculous that, you know, some of these fees. And I don't know about you, but we have this thing out here with our stores. I think there's only a handful of big store chains now. But at Safeway out here, everything would be crazy expensive, like a 12-pack of soda or whatever. Would be like $8 or $9. And then the next time you go, it would say, oh, buy three, get four free. Or,
yeah.
You know, some crazy
Well, but that's thing. The thing is, that's new. That didn't happen 6 months or 12 months ago.
Yeah.
That stuff is new. Take your word for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's interesting. I'd be happy to see the prices come back down. That's for sure.
All right. Look. Have you ever dreamt of running a store while lounging on a hammock, sipping pina coladas, and training a pet llama to do your taxes? Okay, well, maybe that last part's a stretch, but with our sponsor Shopify, anything feels possible. When I started podcasting, an online store was the farthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling all kinds of cool stuff soon, even merch for my Gig Gab podcast. And guess what? It's so easy. All because of Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS, Shopify turns browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better than other platforms. And with Shopify Magic, their AI-powered all-star, you can sell more with less effort. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and it's the force behind brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and millions of entrepreneurs across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. So if you want to live a charmed business life, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/businessbrain, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/businessbrain now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/businessbrain. And our thanks to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. All right, man. What do we got next?
Yeah, what do we got next? We're not going to talk about tuna, but we're going to talk about.
Well, then forget it. Folks, thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. So. I'm a plant guy. One of my first companies that actually took off and make money when I was in college was a landscape construction business. And one of the phrases that we use in that business, as I learned, I went to school for that, or went to college for that. And one of the phrases that you hear a lot was right plant, right place.
Okay.
And the lesson behind it is, you know, if you're going to take if you have somebody by their front door and you're going to plant a plant, you want to plant something that's going to like stay the right size to be near somebody's front door, for example. If you plant something that's going to get 20 feet tall and 30 feet wide, you're just creating a problem.
Yes.
Right? You're constantly having to hack it back. And you're trying to get this plant to do a job it was not created to do.
Okay. I'm with you. So following you.
Now
yes.
We'll segue this here. I've taken that once I left that business decades ago. I started thinking of that concept works with people as well. And with your business, it's right person, right position.
And I'm not, I like this.
What I want to talk about is, because there's some nuance to it. This is not just, oh, well, you get somebody that's good, and then you just keep promoting them, because...
All right, look. Sorry.
That was it. That's okay.
I pushed the wrong button. I pushed the wrong button. We're just going to leave
it in. It's highly unusual. It's totally we're going to put this date July 9th at 1:30 p.m. because that's the death thing. Okay. Anyway,
you know, I was going to remove the banner from the bottom right, here and the video thing, yeah. which I know that's 99% cool. of you don't even see. And yet there I am pushing the wrong button. Yeah,
I like the music. I love Shopify. They are the, I can do a whole show on why I love them so much. Yep. But anyway, so you get people in and it's the typical, okay, you start them out at some level. They're good at that job. And you're like, well, maybe this person would be good at this. Let's move them up and let's move them up. And it a really common example of the Peter principle is you have a salesperson that you keep promoting, giving more responsibility, and eventually they become the sales manager.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, that is an entirely different position than the awesome, on-fire salesperson that was closing deals and real aggressive and everything. Now that person has to have empathy and great listening skills and leadership and persuasion skills.
Yeah, that which it takes to sell is not that which it takes
very
to manage.
Different. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Now, some of if you're fortunate, some of them do good. But in my experience, some of the folks that are just okay at selling become very good managers because they have a different skill set.
Right person, right position.
Yeah. So I like to just, you know, you kind of have to look at the roles of your people and keep track. You almost have to have a database of what are their skills, you know, and you have to observe them. Are they good listeners? Can they talk to customers very well? And you don't want to move these people out of what they're really good at. It's just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as entrepreneurs, we are always thinking of moving up, right? Oh, how do we make more sales? How do we book more of this? How do we get more clients? How do we start another company? You need to understand that your employees do not always think that way. Some of them may want to continue to move up, but some of them are happy. They want a great place to work. They want a competitive salary. They want autonomy, very important
for your sense of self-worth, not necessarily in the order you are articulating here.
Yeah. Money is often down the road or down the list because they, and the other thing that's really important
they want flexibility
is,
if you can give that to
flex
them.
Flex time.
Yes.
Can I go see my kids' baseball game?
Yes.
Their play? And man, that stuff is easy to give.
I think so too.
And it's super valuable. So, as you're thinking about this right person, right position, don't always think that you've got to move somebody up to another level. And I've made this mistake over and over, you know, when I was younger, thinking that, oh, well, that technician wants to eventually run this department. And I used to make this stupid comment. I'd walk around and I would go, well, don't you want my job someday? And then eventually I saw enough people go, no, I don't want your job and I had a hard time understanding it. And so I had to kind of walk back or tone down my entrepreneurial spiel, if you will, that is going along in my head all the time.
Yes.
And realize that there are, you know, some of your most valuable people, they may stay in that same position forever, but you've enhanced their job. Perhaps they take on a little more responsibility. They're making more money because they're better at their job or saving money or more productive or whatever it is. But you don't have to move them. I think you have to move them up constantly.
I have a friend who's been at Apple for 20 now 6 years. And there was probably a 15-year period where we were in touch, but not, you know, not at any deep level. Like there was no falling out. Our just lives went different directions.
Yeah, sure.
And we wound up syncing back up a couple of years ago. And he literally helped start a department that was blessed at the hands of Steve Jobs. Like Steve created this department.
Yep. Nice. Yeah.
And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, and I'm not going to say his name here because I've already shared more than he probably would ever want me to share. But I was like, hey, you know, I assume you're like a manager. Like he was the first, there was the sort of founder of the department that was brought on, okay. and then him. He was like number two, and it was two of them for probably 5 years before it ever grew to what it is today, where there might be 30 people in this department. And I just presumed that he was leading the department because the other guys moved on. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to be a manager. He's like, I tell them no. And he's like, I'm happy to work at the salary that I've worked at. Now, he's worked at Apple for 26 years, and I don't think he's an idiot with his money. So he probably has some vested stock that sort of changes his outlook for life. But he's like, no, he's like, I like doing what I do.
Yeah.
And I don't want to stop doing what I do. It's like, just because I've been doing it for 2.5 decades doesn't change the fact that this is what I like to do.
That's right. And I think that's very important to recognize for yourself.
I was just going to say, for ourselves as entrepreneurs, we don't have to necessarily be at the top. There are places and times where it makes sense to hire someone to run our business for us, even if we're at a, you know, operational or technician level or whatever. If we want to work in the business, it's fine. Let somebody else make the strategic decisions if that's not what we're good at.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Absolutely. And I've lost good employees by pushing them to take on more, responsibility, to become a manager. And many people don't want to manage other people, and they're miserable at it. And I'm
one of them, by the way. I know I do manage other people.
Yeah,
but it's not my favorite thing. It's not why I do what I do. I have to do it. I'm fine with it, but I understand where my weaknesses are, which I think helps. At least it helps the people that I have to manage. But
And let me tell you, if you promote someone and it doesn't work out, it's very tough to bring them back. Yeah. I mean, you can do it, but it's hard on them, on the department. And, you know, I'd love some examples or some tips on the best way if you've promoted somebody forward and it didn't work and you didn't want to lose them, so you brought them back down. And, you know, I've done it, but it's pretty bumpy. And so I guess it's just trying to be aware of the message that your employee is telling you.
Yes.
In their review, in the day-to-day interaction, are they saying things like, hey, I'd love more responsibility. Hey, I think I'd be a good manager. I want to be a supervisor. Well, that's one thing.
Yes.
But if you're hearing, I love what I do. I love my job.
Please don't mess it up for me.
don't don't talk to me. Yeah. Let me do my job. And because I have this saying, and sometimes it's really true. It's like the quickest way to destroy something you love is to try to make money out of it, right?
Sure.
And I don't.
My life has not gone that path. But I understand why people
say
this.
Some of the things that I love, I've tried. By monetizing it, you turn it into data points. And you have to push and all this kind of stuff. But so think about it from a human resource perspective and figure out where should this person really be. And maybe, like to your point, Dave, assessing yourself. And do I want to be the manager? Do I enjoy getting up and doing this? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
And I think to answer your question about, have you successfully brought someone back from that, or how do you successfully bring someone back from a failed promotion, essentially? I think it starts with a company culture that prioritizes self-awareness. And that means you have to do that for yourself. Like, just being honest about, I've said it on the show, but I mean it.
Yep.
It turns out I'm a pretty good leader. I'm not a great manager. But I tell my people that. Other things sort of promotes this idea of, let's just be honest as we figure out who we each are. Let's be honest about that. It's okay. And then if somebody does have a, short stint as a manager and comes back from it, well, then that's not failure. That's learning. We've learned.
Yeah,
okay, that's the wrong spot for
that's
you.
Great.
This is an experiment and it's all okay.
I love that. That's great. That's smart. And and having that discussion openly.
Yes.
So that you being able to talk to people.
Yeah,
hey,
so it's not a hidden, like, oh, it's not taboo. It's like, yeah, we tried it. Yeah. Didn't work. Oh, that's fine. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yep. Or I didn't even just giving them an out, you know, creating, hey, I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so I want to do what I enjoy. I'm going to go back and be a technician, or I'm going to go back and be a sales guy, and someone else going to step into that role. I love it. I think it's great.
Same.
I'd love your feedback. Let us know the way you handle this stuff. Feedback@businessbrain.show. Tell us what you think.
Absolutely. Like he said, feedback@businessbrain.show. We love your emails. We love the thoughts that we get, and then we get to crunch it all together. We get to keep living that charmed life, and we'll see you on Friday.